This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Florida has surpassed 200,000 cases as the state reported an additional 10,000 new positive cases in one day. It's the fourth straight day that the state has reported more than 10,000 new cases. Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez spoke on CBS.
What concerns me is the positivity rate. We had it down to about 8% of the people getting tested were showing up positive. Now they're over 20% are showing up positive.
Medical contributor Dr. Agus spoke of the rise in cases.
To me, this is a failure on all of our part in terms of the simple preventive methods of wearing a mask and social distancing. I hear arguments on the internet, they're emailed to me, well, kids die in a physical education class wearing a mask. And the answer is that's just not true.
This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The impact of COVID-19 on jobs has been well publicized, but Labor Secretary Eugene Scalia says he believes the nation's actually doing better than some expected.
I think it's really important to, again, remember how much better than projected we've done so far. Back in May, it was projected that we would lose 7.5 million jobs. Well, we've now, over the last couple of months, added 7.5 million jobs. In other words, we're about 15 million ahead of where the experts said we were going to do.
He was on Fox News Sunday. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb on CBS's Face the Nation says it's not going to end soon.
We face a hard fall. We're going to take all this infection into the fall and winter. It's not clear that it's going to get better. We're going to have epidemics that come and go across the nation in different cities. They'll light up at different times.
But while cases spiked up, there has been a slight leveling off in the number of U.S. deaths. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
President Trump has signed a law extending the deadline for small business loans under the Paycheck Protection Program. The extension of the PPP, which was established to provide small businesses with economic relief from the coronavirus pandemic, was passed by Congress earlier this week. The president signed the legislation with $130 million unspent. The new deadline is August 8th. Since the program began, nearly 5 million businesses have received $520 billion in emergency loans.
With teams in two sports taking a second look at names deemed offensive to Native Americans, the Atlanta Braves have given no indication on whether they're willing to consider a similar change. The Cleveland Indians said they're reconsidering their nickname following their furor over the NFL Washington Redskins name. The Braves released a statement saying the team honors, supports, and values the Native American community, and that will never change. The Braves also said they have much work to do on and off the field in this matter. The Braves have not said if they will continue to encourage the tomahawk chop done at games during the season. The chant caused a stir last year in the NL Division Series loss to the St. Louis Cardinals. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You don't have to wait for the top of the hour. You can listen to the news anytime by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Live.
Hey, you didn't think it was going to be easy, did you? Hey, how you doing? Hopefully you had a great weekend, all things considered. Restricted as it was, America's beaches were a bit restricted. Some areas, especially in Florida, they were closed down. California the same. And that was a bit frustrating and not able to quite enjoy the 4th of July traditionally as we would like to, but made the most of it and hope you did as well and kept it safe and socially distanced and did all those important things that we need to do because the fact of the matter is that COVID-19 is not going away. And, of course, everybody has an idea. On the Sunday talk shows over the weekend, everybody had an idea as to what caused it. You know, was it the gatherings in Memorial Weekend? Was it, some of the young people, especially, they're being blamed. Right now the media is going after them, saying, "Hey, look at all these youngsters. The youngins thought that they're impervious to the COVID, and so they're out there just recklessly intermingling, going to bars and not wearing masks and all that good stuff, and not monitoring social distancing." I'm not sure that that's the case, but, you know, hey, look at, they've got an opinion, they got to fill up some airtime, so they go ahead and speak rather recklessly. But, you know, clearly something caused this to spike, and it, I think, again, pointed that we needed to be mindful of, you know, what is happening and the part that we can play in this, whether it's to wear a mask, to be especially, sensitive to social distancing measures and the things that the doctors and the specialists have been telling us, because we really don't know. And I understand, look, there's a lot of argument. In fact, when you talk to people about this in any kind of circle, again, everybody has an idea, and it goes back to what I've long said and maintained, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. So we really do not have all the facts, but we do know that this is a rather pernicious disease. And, you know, we're at the point now where more people are getting infected. They're talking, you know, that we could end up, what are we at? About 130,000 a day are being infected, or at least, you know, being diagnosed with COVID, and thinking that this could, you know, approach about 200,000 before it's all said and done. This is what Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former commissioner of Food and Drugs, what he had to say about the coronavirus, and he says that we're right back to where we began in New York, except we've got other cities now involved. Listen to what he said.
Well, I think right now we're where we were when New York City was having its peak epidemic. If you look back, when New York City peaked, we had about 34,000 cases a day. At the time, we were probably diagnosing 1 in 20 infections, so that meant we were having 700,000 new infections a day. Right now, we're going to have about 60,000 infections a day this week. Maybe we'll reach 75,000 or get close to it. We're probably diagnosing 1 in 12 infections. CDC said 1 in 10 a few weeks ago. It's probably 1 in 12 now because we're falling behind. That means we have about 700,000 infections a day. day nationally. So we're right back where we were at the peak of the epidemic during the New York outbreak. The difference now is that we really had one epicenter of spread when New York was going through its hardship. Now we really have four major epicenters of spread: Los Angeles, cities in Texas, cities in Florida, and Arizona. And Florida looks to be in the worst shape, and Georgia's heating up as well, and that's concerning.
Of course, we had an eye on Georgia because they were one of the first, you know, with Governor Kemp to break out. And so that's a bit, you know, disturbing. And of course, you know, you've got the Monday morning quarterbacks, you know, saying, well, maybe we opened too soon. Maybe we did, you know, and we won't know, sadly. We're not going to know about this until we get to the other side. But and I misquoted. I was saying 150. I went Joe Biden on you. I apologize. You know, as Dr. Scott Gottlieb was saying, you know, 50, we could probably get up to about 75,000 are the more realistic numbers, not the 150. I kind of doubled that by accident, so forgive me. But again, in trying to make sure that the information that you do have out there is truthful, it is right, it's the best knowledge that we have right now. Meanwhile, everybody is scrambling for a vaccine. And as we spoke with, you know, Peter Pitts and other experts in the previous weeks here on the show, this is going to be a process. And we're also hoping to get to that point of herd immunity. And I think this is what also is going on. What the experts are suggesting is that as more people get infected, that we are going to build up that herd immunity. And quite possibly with the lockdown, what we did is we delayed it, and we could have been further down the road. Again, this is another one of those opinions, and anybody can say whatever it is that they think could be a possibility, because we don't know. But what we do know is this this virus is dangerous. It has already taken the lives of 100 and, you know, 130,000 people here in the United States. This is heartbreaking. You know what this is going on. So as much as it would count on any one of us, we have to exercise self-responsibility. I mean, right now, you got a lot of people. It doesn't matter who you want to blame about this right now, is that we're dealing with this. And what we do have, or what we can control, is our own reaction to it and our very own responsibility on this whole issue. Of course, over the weekend, 4th of July, celebrations took place. People were concerned about the president being at Mount Rushmore, all the problems and the hysteria that goes along. You know, right about the time I think, wow, this is the worst it's ever been, then I go back and remember what it was like in 1968. We had assassinations abounding, the protests that were taking place in the country over the war in Vietnam. You know, you had political parties, you know, at each other's throats and all the stuff that was going on. We had violence in the streets. The mayor of Chicago daily, you know, letting the police go rather abruptly. But listen to what Molly Hemingway had to say in condemning the media for their attack on Donald Trump's speech at Mount Rushmore. She took grave exception to this, and rightfully so. We got Molly there? Oh, okay. There we go.
To the enormous coverage and enormously negative coverage of the president's speech at Mount Rushmore. Here's a little bit of that.
In our schools, our newsrooms, even our corporate boardrooms, there is a new far-left fascism that demands absolute allegiance.
Griff, the president also talked about a new totalitarianism, and the media reaction, I think, at the very minimum, was that this was not an appropriate kind of speech for the 4th of July. Your thoughts?
Well, the criticism, of course, certainly from the New York Times got the biggest headline, saying that it was dark and divisive. That was the headline yesterday. And clearly there are many that will criticize what the president had to say. But let's not forget that you do have lawlessness in the streets where they're tearing down Christopher Columbus and they're tearing down George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt, Lincoln, the statue here in Washington, all of whom have their likenesses in stone above the president where he gave that speech. And so I think that certainly he perhaps missed an opportunity to include some reconciliation language. The point that he was trying to hit, whether he hit it or not, I'm not sure, but the point he was trying to hit was that we need to protect these past statues because of the significance that their story tells and the example that they set for us going forward.
We're not going to have enough time. Let's go ahead and stop that right now because we'll pick it up from there when we come back to get Molly Hemingway, the senior editor at The Federalist, to get her comments on the press's reaction. She took grave exception to it, and rightfully so. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We all need to do our part.
And show that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. And here's more good reasons. Get 100 disposable face masks for only $36.99. Or 50 disposable masks, only $18.99 from sunny-bay.com. The best value of level 1 disposable face masks or high-quality N95 face masks anywhere. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection and see your selections at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Values, faith, service.
They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
They exist for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. We're here to serve you, to make sure that you're getting the truth and the whole truth and nothing but as best we know how. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. As we were heading into the holiday weekend and the media knew that President Trump was going to be going to Mount Rushmore, the media was just beside themselves. I mean, they were pulling out their hair, couldn't believe this was going on. We had the Lakota Indians involved. Anything antithetical to the president, that the people are going to be there. They're not necessarily going to be wearing masks because the president hasn't endorsed wearing masks, even though he said the other day that he would wear a mask. He's done it at times, kind of comically referred, said he kind of looked like the Lone Ranger. Maybe in more ways than one. So he's riding along the plains there to South Dakota. But anyway, the media pig pile, they just went absolutely crazy over the president. And of course, the Democrats. And this is what you need to observe, is the allies here that, you know, clearly it's Donald Trump and Main Street America against the establishment of our government that is being led by, you know, the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi et al. And company, and the mainstream media. And, of course, also what's happening, because you get some establishment Republicans that are growing weary, and they're kind of freaking out and getting nervous because, it was okay when Donald Trump was winning, but with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of opposition, they start shaking in their boots and wondering, well, you know, is this really the right guy? But how quick they forget that it was, 8 years of the previous administration that blighted our economy and jobs, and, you know, we were so loaded up with regulations, it was debilitating. And we were chasing manufacturing, chasing businesses out of the way. Then you get Donald Trump, who comes in and says, look at what happened. You know, we've lost all these manufacturing jobs. I mean, you go and you visit some of these cities where manufacturing was so robust and the businesses on Main Street were so vital and vibrant and everything. And now it's a ghost town. And you go, what the heck happened? And all these businesses and manufacturing went overseas, and Donald Trump said, wait a minute, you've got to change the perspective here. It's got to be about America first. And meanwhile, along the way, realizing that we're so vulnerable because we have turned all this manufacturing and industry to other nations. I mean, we didn't have steel. And, you know, last time you check, when it comes, if you have any kind of combat situation, you're going to need steel, right? But you're going to rely on somebody who may or may not be an ally. Forget about the Chinese. We already know what happened. I mean, here they've stolen all the property. They've withheld pharmaceutical supplies and, even hoarded a bunch themselves. Meanwhile, as we're going into it, because we're so kind and we think, beyond our borders, that to help other people, we sent them a bunch of PPEs. Meanwhile, they were hoarding it. I mean, no big friends and of America. And so we have a president who's looking out for our best interest. And, you know, what do the Democrats have to offer other than they're absolutely insulted and bothered by President Trump's tweet? Get over it. You know, it's his way to communicate with the people and, his base. That's the way they hear from them, because they're not getting it straight from the mainstream media. And to back that up, as I mentioned earlier, Molly Hemingway, who's the senior editor of The Federalist, had this to say about the mainstream media's comments about the president's speech there at Mount Rushmore.
What the media did in response to this speech is one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen in the entire Trump administration. President Trump was speaking to very legitimate concerns about the weaponization of political correctness, about what's happening in the streets, but also what's happening to our culture that has moved away from freedom of speech, tolerance, freedom of expression. If this is viewed as a controversial speech, much less as dark or divisive, that's an indictment of the media themselves, and they are aligning themselves with these forces voices that are moving against freedom of expression. But regardless of what their personal feelings are, that shouldn't come through in the media coverage. They should just report honestly and accurately about his actual words instead of describing it in ways that are completely out of touch with the actual words that he gave.
Howard Kurtz, he almost didn't know what to say with himself. I mean, she just absolutely pinned the tail on the donkey, so to speak, and laid it right out there. I mean, you know, indicting the media. Somebody has to indict the media and say, look, we need you to do your job. We don't need, you know, your partisanship. Either that or just, you know, just declare, and we already know, I mean, I don't even know that you need to declare because it's already obvious that you're in the tank and that somehow you think it's your job to be critical as opposed to, I mean, it's fine. Look, we have commentary pages. That's the place where it needs to be. But now commentary has come to the front page and we don't get we're not getting an objective viewpoint of, from today's media of what is going on here. I mean, the reality of what we've been dealing with in the last month or so with all the riots and looting and this disruption that's taking place right now, we need to have debates and conversations about these specific issues so that, we can get all the venting out of the way and that we can move to resolve these problems. And I believe more than ever this country is in a position. But, you know, in mentioning earlier about what happened back in 1968, if you recall, with all the riots, what it led to is the people realized, it was interesting how this dynamic took place, if you recall. The people realized that what we were dealing with was a God-sized problem, and they turned to God. Remember, we had a revival that took place in the early 70s. We had, of course, we had the children of Haight-Ashbury and all that, and the Jesus movement that went on. But there was a revival that took place. But like anything that happens in this world, good and evil cohabitates. Not very well, but where good is, you're going to find evil. And it's up to the people what they want to hold on to and what is sustainable. Well, they held on to it for a while, and then they let go, and here we are all these years later, and we're repeating the course of study one more time. The other thing that was, again, that will not go away, it's one of those recurring theme songs, is what happened anytime you say the Russians, and you can say Russians and Donald Trump in the same sentence, everybody's beside themselves. And John Bolton, of course, trying to sell, keep selling his book, The Room Where It Happened, had this to say about Russian assistance, to the Taliban, that this had been going on. No big surprise here, but that the big fuss is about, a bounty that was paid. I mean, God, if you're giving people weapons to kill Americans, bounties or no bounties, we know the Russians are not friends of ours. But there is the debate and still the question of when did the president know about this latest leak that has come out of his administration. I mean, the president, you can tell he's still dealing with, people who are antithetical to his administration, and they continue to leak out information that is against the law and could get them in a lot of trouble. But that they fear none because the deep state continues to rule. But here's what John Bolton had to say.
Look, I don't want to make this a matter of personalities. And by the way, what was made public in 2018 was Russian assistance to the Taliban, and that's been known for some time. That alone is troubling. What is particularly troubling, if true, is this latest information that they were providing compensation for killing Americans. And that is the kind of thing that that you go to the president on and say, look, Mr. President, heads up, we may not know everything on this, but a nuclear power is reportedly providing bounties to kill Americans. That's the kind of thing you need to have in the president's view so that he can think about it as he develops, or at least as normal presidents develop, strategy to handle Russia, to handle Afghanistan.
Well, and I thought it was also, Rich, that Susan Rice, they put her on TV. you know, the woman who lacks so much credibility after all, you know, that we went through with her and Benghazi. And, of course, she says Trump picks Putin over troops even when it comes to the blood of American service members. How rich that that statement would come from her, and why she is on television and why she is sought out for any kind of opinion after what she put us through and how she misrepresented the facts about Benghazi is beyond me. But, hey, look, at that's why we have a channel clicker, because we can change the channel whenever she's on. We've got more. Stay with us.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Florida has surpassed 200,000 cases as the state reported an additional 10,000 new positive cases in one day. It's the fourth straight day that the state has reported more than 10,000 new cases. Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez spoke on CBS.
What concerns me is the positivity rate. We had it down to about 8% of the people getting tested were showing up positive. Now they're over 20% are showing up positive.
Medical contributor Dr. Agus spoke of the rise in cases.
To me, this is a failure on all of our part in terms of the simple preventive methods of wearing a mask and social distancing. I hear arguments on the internet, they're emailed to me, well, kids die in a physical education class wearing a mask. And the answer is that's just not true.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show that comes to you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is time for the one and only George Barna, the professor at Arizona Christian University and president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. George, how are we doing, buddy?
Doing pretty well, in spite of all the news.
Yeah, well, it's definitely there, but it's bringing to question, if Black Lives Matter, do all lives matter? And you ask the question, do lives matter?
Yeah, there's not that much stuff that shocks me, but, I mean, this was one of those things that qualifies where we found that less than 4 out of 10 Americans right now would say that they consider human life to be sacred. Mm-hmm. We found people saying that human life has no intrinsic value, that it's an illusion, that, it is what it is what we make it, that it doesn't really have value until we fully evolve. I mean, there are all kinds of perspectives out there But I think this is a great example of Americans leaving biblical truth behind and running with whatever cultural truth is popular that day or whatever makes them feel better about themselves and their lives. Ultimately, what will make us feel better about ourselves and our lives is if we go back to and embrace God's truth.
Yes.
But we're even losing sight of what that is.
This is dangerous, George. I mean, how can we bring these disparate parts together when we can't even agree on the primaries?
Yeah, you know, I look at what's going on in churches across the country. First of all, they're losing altitude, partly because of the pandemic, and now people have created new habits where they assume they don't really need church. They got a long, quote-unquote, time without it. So the issue is, where are we going to get that kind of teaching into people's minds and hearts and souls? And so we got to be looking back at family, at parents, saying, okay, biblically in the first place, this is a parent's responsibility to be teaching their children how to think biblically. But parents have to be modeling it to their kids. Mm-hmm. Secondly, churches that are meeting, whether it's online or in person or some other way, they do have to make sure that they're not assuming that the people in their churches have embraced the foundations of scriptural truth. I think the more we dive into this worldview research, the more that we're finding the very basics are no longer the foundations of how people think. So for us to be preaching about all kinds of ethereal stuff, this is not the time for that, if there ever is. Right now is the time to drive people back to the heart of God.
Well, George, I got to tell you, I'm shocked because some of the churches, the worldview that they're putting out there is so anti-biblical. I mean, you know, right now it seems to be charming to align with Black Lives Matter, and they're carrying message out there in their bulletins that shocks me. Because I'm sitting there going, you have no idea what you are doing, in a sense, endorsing that bit of philosophy that Black Lives Matter.
People in America are constantly looking for clues or for cues from the institutions that they trust, the leaders that they follow, the people that they have relationships with. And so all of the things that we say and do related to all of these challenges that are being brought to our society today is critically important. We got to think carefully about what message are we sending, because it's those messages that influence the way that people think. We don't experience most of the reality that we have opinions about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't experience the reality that we respond to every day. It's kind of described to us, whether that's through the newscast or through movies or books or conversations or personal experiences, all of that kind of shapes our understanding of things. And so we have to be very careful that when we say things, even in jest, that people understand, regardless of what the world is saying, what God's perspective is, and that's what we need to run with.
Well, and that's the problem, because people look to the church as being, you know, offering some sobriety and reminding us of what God, you know, really did say about these issues, and it's gotten rather milquetoast on it. And of course, you've been reporting on this for years. I mean, you know, in the time that I've known you and even when I first met you, I said, George, you know, this has been my passion, to pursue the truth no matter where it leads and where we find out. I mean, it was one of your early books when you talked about how the church had abandoned a biblical worldview. And the measurement for a biblical worldview wasn't anything that was, you know, so extreme and so uniquely difficult that it would be impossible for them to do. I mean, there were some basic qualifications to hold to a biblical worldview. And when you realize that a majority of the senior pastors in the pulpit today couldn't even hold to those basic tenets, it's no wonder we are where we are today, because I think the book you wrote, maybe it was at least a decade ago when you cited these initial findings.
Yeah, I think you're probably talking about the book Think Like Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah. The whole point of that was to recognize Jesus as our ultimate model, and so we want to live like him, but because we do what we believe, we've also got to pay attention to what we believe. And our beliefs have been going astray. We've been seduced by the world to believe things that are unbiblical. And we thought, well, it doesn't really matter that much. I have to get by. Well, the way you get by is by following God, by looking at the model that Jesus gave us. And so, yeah, I mean, that research never since then, you know, we've been finding that we're floating farther and farther from that pivot, that you know, anchor of biblical truth. You know, you talk about churches losing it. I mean, in this particular study, we even found that a majority of people who attend Pentecostal churches, a majority of people who attend mainline Protestant churches, a majority of people who attend Catholic churches do not believe that human life is sacred. And then when you look at our perspectives about, you know, whether or not people are basically good, once again, we're on the wrong side of biblical truth. Mm-hmm. You put that all together, and that's how you wind up with the social unrest that we have today and many of the tensions, which really shouldn't be tensions, but they are.
Exactly.
Existing. Yeah.
Well, God pointed out very simply to Cain, how many millennia ago, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And America right now finds itself in chaos. The world finds itself in chaos. And it can't even pause for a moment and to take any kind of personal assessment and say, look, have we missed the mark? Although I think it's quite curious, that being said, they think that maybe we are being judged. I mean, some disturbance in the force occurs, and they look up, and it's if they're anticipating the hand of God coming upon them to, you know, I don't know, maybe they would change their evil ways or something, or maybe they're, you know, like the Jews always ask Jesus, you know, they say, just give us a sign, give us a sign. It's like we're no different than, you know, the ancient Jews that were looking for a sign. When signs abound, do they not?
They do. And I believe the Lord's happy to constantly give them to us, to give us some guidance. He doesn't want us to be, you know, led astray by the world. That's not his purpose for us. You know, but I look at America and I think for some reason we really kind of understand the wrath of God, you know, and that's what caused many people, by the way, to depart from God, is that they only know that side of him. And that wrath, however, they don't understand is wrapped up in the concept of justice. You know, people in America today are, oh, we need justice, we need justice. Okay, let's go back to the one who defines what justice is, understand that's part of his nature, that's what gives him pleasure. He does want that, yes. But also at the same time, in addition to being the God of wrath, he's also the God of mercy because of his sense of love and compassion and justice. So if we understood the totality of the character of God, which our studies are consistently showing we do not, we'd have a much better fix on how to live a meaningful and successful life. Success not being possessions, but
right.
Success being obedience to God based on his commands, which he gave us for our own good.
And truly living a life of liberty. We've got to go to quick break. We've got more from George Barna after this. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative. representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Bill Martinez live.
As promised, we're back with you. Our conversation with George Barna continues. We're talking about a recent study that shows what percentage of Americans really believe that life matters. And George, you were saying earlier, I mean, the culture has taken over to such a degree. I mean, you think about a culture that embraces the annihilation of our own progeny. I mean, over 60 million babies and 40% in round figures here. And of course, it's hard to really know these numbers for sure because of Planned Parenthood and those that have promoted abortion. They're trying to hold their cards close to the vest. But as best we can tell, you know, somewhere around 40% of abortions happened to the black community. And I even say, look at, where's all the hashtag ladies, the Me Too movement, because 50% of those babies were at least girls, and they're gone. Hispanics, 25%. I mean, what we have done to humanity, I mean, it's no wonder that such a low percentage of people here in America have any concern. You know, we want to say that lives matter, but our actions aren't lining up with that statement.
Well, it's true. You know, it's interesting when you talked about abortion, because, of course, you know, I've done a lot of research on that. And in this particular study, one of the things that we found is roughly 4 out of 10 Americans believe that the Bible is ambiguous on the issue of abortion, which is kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. But then we look deeper into it, and we find that, again, you know, more than 4 out of 10 people who attend Pentecostal churches, 4 out of 10 who attend mainline Protestant churches, 4 out of 10 who attend Catholic churches, 3 out of 10 who attend evangelical churches, believe the Bible is ambiguous about abortion, meaning in their minds that you could argue either position effectively using biblical information. Now,
you're deluded. They're deluded to even think how. I mean, that is stupid. How can you make a biblical argument for the other side of this? It's all driven because of their own personal accommodation for sin.
That's exactly it. And so what happens is that to make ourselves feel better, to justify our positions, to fit in with everybody else so that we're not controversial, we're not despised, we're not shunned, we embrace all kinds of wacky ideas. And, Bill, this goes back to all of our research on worldview in America.
Yes.
You know, because we find that nobody has a pure worldview. I've interviewed tens and tens of thousands of people on their worldview and have yet to find the first individual in America who has a pure worldview. We combine, we mix and match, we cut and paste all these different worldviews together until it's something that satisfies us rather than what satisfies God. If we would just go back to the blueprint that He gave us and embrace just what He gave us and set aside all the other options, all the other alternatives that may be popular, but they're false, they're wrong, they're erroneous, they're harmful. If we understood that, we'd be so much better off.
Without a doubt. And then look what the Supreme Court recently did. I mean, you know, with the gender declaration, I mean, I'm surprised they just stopped at, I don't know, several gender assignments. I mean, in California, I think the universities now embrace something like 63 gender options. I mean, this is what it's going on. And, you know, if we're not sensitive to people's pronouns, the cancel culture running amok, it's no wonder we're round pegs being forced into square holes here.
And this, to me, goes back to, okay, so we've got to focus on our children, because children grow up to be Supreme Court justices. Children grow up to be congresspeople. Children grow up to be the president. Children grow up to be teachers of other children. I mean, is it the importance of reaching individuals early, because that worldview is almost fully formed by the age of 13. It may change a little after that, but not much. You pretty much die believing what you believe at age 13. So we've got to focus so much on our children and give them God's truth. If they get what the world calls truth, there really isn't a whole lot of hope, because we're never even going to understand that God exists, and that's where America's going.
Exactly. What kind of America are we handing off to the kids? I mean, it's so compromised that barring, you know, as we talked about before, a sign from God, a radical movement for repentance that could lead to revival, where something devastatingly enough occurs, George, that would cause the people to abandon these cultural norms right now that we're so bathed in, that have compromised biblical principles. I mean, barring that, we continue just to mosey along and we turn over this chaotic, messed up, confused society to the next generation. I mean, if we do that, George, I mean, we're talking generations, barring an immediate hand of God, barring that, I mean, what is the trajectory that we're on?
Yeah, it's not a pleasant one. All you have to do is look at some of the other countries of the world, like many of those in Europe, and you can see that at one point, yes, they, many, if not most, of their population had that deeper, meaningful relationship with God. For a variety of reasons, historical situations, they turned their back on it. And now today, you know, church buildings are turned into, you know, vacation homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, all kinds of things. You do not have much of a Christian presence in Europe. And that's the path that we're following, unfortunately. Rather than blazing the trail of being a nation where its people humble themselves before God, pray for His forgiveness and His mercy, and are willing to follow Him, what we've done is we've said, it's all about me. So I'm going to do what's best for myself. You can see the results of that in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in other countries of the world. And really what you were talking about is this need that we have to be broken.
Yeah.
And in America, we look down on the concept of brokenness. But unless we're broken of sin, self, and society, we're going to continue to pursue our own path, do what we think is right in our own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to lead only to distress, to collapse. And you're right. I mean, when I look at what is it, as I've studied people's spiritual lives, that has enabled God to transform them, it's usually been some kind of crisis, some kind mm-hmm. of pain in their life that caused them to stop long enough and reassess and get to the point where they were willing to say, you know what, my only hope really is through Christ.
Amen. Well, my good friend, who you know, Jonathan Kahn, the rabbi himself says it's a shaking that we're going through right now. And things, the cultural norms, all this we're experiencing is for God's intentional plan. Because, you know, and I go back to the opening of Genesis, and in between the first and second verse, after in the beginning was God, it talks about the earth being void and that there was chaos reigning, but it said the Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos. And that's what I want to see right now, and I feel that's happening, George, is that the Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos of the world right now where we are. And I am hopeful, as you are, that the people will turn to God. And but unfortunately, being you know, the stiff-necked people that we are, wasn't just the Jews, it's his humanity that he's created. We're stiff-necked and we're stubborn, and we have to you know, as I say, fall off the roof to find out that you know, gravity still exists.
Well, yeah, you know, and the way that I'm looking at all this is that we probably won't begin a comeback, so to speak, until we recognize that the United States, much less the rest of the world, let's just focus on home. I mean, we've got a profound spiritual deficiency.
Yes.
And that's what's produced our worldview crisis, and that, in turn, is responsible for America's cultural demise. We keep thinking that it's a political issue or an economic issue. It's not. It's a spiritual issue. And so we've really got to deal with our rebellion against goodness, against holiness, our, you know, the fact that we're driven by our own selfishness and arrogance, our self-reliance and independence. But we've got to know that it's not about us. Those of us who maybe get some of this, the remnant of God, this is our moment. I mean, this is not the time for us to sit back in a home and wring our hands. It's our time to get out in the marketplace, out in the streets, around the dinner table, wherever we have the opportunity to talk to people and put this stuff on the table, challenge people, get people to think, mm-hmm. get them to not just, you know, kind of blindly embrace what the world is doing and follow like a bunch of lemmings running into the sea. We've got to be the light on the hill.
Exactly. Well, the people are ignoring our history, our rich history. We were founded under godly principles. We asked for God's blessing. We asked to be a nation under God. God responded with his beneficence and with his blessings. And look how, you know, the history of our nation, how it's been so richly blessed, you know, through you know, the revolution and you know, through a civil war and two world wars and all these other conflicts, how we've been blessed and been able to rise out of the Second World War to become the predominant economic force. And we've now said, okay, God, we'll take it from here. Do you really think that God's going to stand for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we look at the situation, we got to recognize that those of us who get it, this is a time of great opportunity. God put us here purposely for this moment in time. And neither you nor I, Bill, nor anybody listening can do everything that needs to be done, but each of us has been called to do something.
Exactly.
And then
Well, my prayer, joined with you, George, is that we would come together and co-labor with God's intent for this time, this moment in time. My audience has heard me talk about, you know, historically, you look at moments in time and do not miss your appointed time. And I believe our appointed time is now, and the choice that we make is so critical to the future of this country and the next generation. George Barna has been with us. George, always appreciate you coming on and keeping us informed as to what's going on and encouraging us to hold and to follow a biblical worldview. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is Fred.